There you go. All right. Sound system wasn't on, so once again, we'll call the Environment and Natural Resources Subcommittee on Public Lands and Waters to order. It's Thursday, February 28th, 6:05. And we're starting with Senate File 2651, Senator Saxhog, and he has proposed the A1 amendment. Senator Saxhog.
Do I have the A1 amendment? Is it? Okay, we're set. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, members. What we have before us now is a piece of legislation that's a result of the Forest Land Consolidation Working Group that we were working on in the off-season in the interim, and it's part of Senator Anderson's Budget Division of Environment and Natural Resources. This bill is a first step to trying to get a handle on what I feel is some of the greatest threats to the state's forest, that being fragmentation, and then one of the better ways to enhance the forest management, and that's consolidation of our forest land. So after numerous meetings and a couple of hearings, this is a proposal that I'd like to bring forward. And this bill has 11 sections, and they deal with different things. And I'm just going to ask my testifiers to come forth, and we'll go in order in terms of the sections, if you don't mind. So Section 1 and 2 is Forest of the Future, and with me will be Bob Meyer from the DNR and Norm Moody from Cass County.
Mr. Meyer, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself.
Members, thank you so much. For the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner with the Department of Natural Resources. Section 1 of the bill, as Senator Saxhog discussed, is our Minnesota Forest for the Future program. I have asked staff to distribute a copy of the executive summary of a report entitled Minnesota Forest for the Future, Conserving Minnesota's Working Land, Forest Lands to Meet the State's Recreation, Economic, and Ecological Needs. You are familiar with this program under a different term, the Forest Legacy easements that we have purchased in the past in our Forest Legacy program. State Forest Legacy is very important to keep these large tracts of land in a working forest condition, but also for access for recreation, camping, hiking, biking, berry picking, hunting. These lands are considered our wildlife management areas, if you will, of northern Minnesota. What we did, we convened a task force over the interim, and you'll see it inside the first page, and who was on this group. It was co-chaired by Mark Johnson, president of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, and also Bud Stone, Grand Rapids Area Chamber of Commerce. And what we did is we talked about the importance of the Forest Legacy Program and the need it was determined to establish the program in state statute, much like we have in Chapter 84C, our conservation legacy programs. Rather than go into this report in depth, you'll see the key findings that are here do support, I believe, all sections of Senator Saxhog's delete all amendments. So you can look back at this if you do have questions or wonder where some of those things came from. And also in our meetings with Senator Saxhog's direction and guidance on our forest fragmentation working group, the recommendations are here for you today. Senator Saxhog discussed, I will be talking about the Forest for the Future program here in Section 1. You can see Subdivision 1 just establishes the purpose. Subdivision 2 is the definitions. 3, again, the establishments, as the commissioner shall establish and administer a Forest for the Future program. Talks about the criteria for selection, potential for producing timber and other forest products, maintaining forest landscapes, providing public recreation, providing ecological, fish and wildlife habitat, and other cultural and environmental values consistent with working forests. Moving on to Subdivision 4 on page 1, the land eligibility. It's important that we're very specific about what is eligible. We're talking here, you'll see on lines 1.31 that they're at least 5 acres in size, except for a riparian area or an area providing access to state forest land. That it's not set aside, enrolled, or diverted under another federal or state program unless that program would provide additional conservation benefits or a longer enrollment term than a current federal or state program. Moving on, we talk about landowners' responsibilities. We also establish an advisory team. Allows for a process for us to correct errors and legal descriptions for easements. Also allows for the termination of or changing of an easement if it were to be determined that was needed. One of the most important pieces of this legislation, at least through this section, is on page 3, subdivision 12, the monitoring, enforcement, and damage section. It says the commissioner shall establish a long-term program for monitoring and enforcing Minnesota forests for the future easements. It talks about violations and also allows the attorney general to commence an action for specific performance, injunctive relief damages, including attorney fees and others. This is an issue that is important to the department and also to the state as we purchase conservation easement tools. We have to make sure that we are monitoring and enforcing them. We are doing that right now, but this actually sets up in statute that program for the Forest Legacy or Forest for the Future activities. Currently, we're doing these enforcement activities for Forest Legacy under our existing complement. It is part of our Forest Legacy staff's job to monitor and enforce the easements that we have. So there is no fiscal impact involved there. Section 2 is something that Senator Saxog put into the, or Section 2 is a Forest for the Future revolving account that Senator Saxog has put into the bill that will allow this program access to dollars to do these easement acquisitions. And then, moving on, that is the end of the Forest for the Future bill. Mr. Chair, the remaining pieces of this delete all amendment deal with our land exchange program. I'll bring up Kathy Lewis from our Lands and Minerals Department to talk about when you're ready.
Uh-huh. Mr. Chair, before, if there isn't any other questions on Section 1 and 2, I'd like to have Norm Moody, Land Commissioner from Cass County, make a few comments on the future of counties and the state working together in programs such as this.
Mr. Saxog, or Senator Saxog, excuse me, or Mr. Meyer, just maybe another line or two about that revolving account, where that came from and how you envision that working.
I can explain that.
Mr. Knopf, maybe.
Mr. Chairman and members, maybe I should just explain that provision a little bit. Mr. Meyer went through it pretty quickly. It isn't necessarily to fund the Section 1 of the bill. It's another alternative. Rather than acquiring an easement, it allows the commissioner to acquire land, put an easement on the land, and then resell the land.
Right.
Similar to, I think, what Mr. Moody may be talking about, what they've done in Cass County.
And Mr. Chairman, the LCCMR is proposing a $500,000 revolving fund, which will that fund this thing? Oh, okay. Well, which is pretty much the same thing. This isn't funded, but it makes it possible for the Department of Natural Resources to do this. And Mr. Knopf describes it perfectly. That's exactly what we'd like to do. And again, we would want Mr. Moody just to make a comment on a county basis on what might be happening.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Moody?
Mr. Chairman, Senators, I'm Norm Moody, the land commissioner from Cass County. I administer a quarter of a million acres of state-deeded, county-administered land. And I strongly support this bill and all the parts of it. It's going to be a partnership with us. We're all racing to get some of this defragmentation done before it's too late. A quick note on the revolving account. That's in essence our land asset management program that we've been working in for a number of years. And just an idea of what it's been able to do for us is we've had a net gain of over 600 acres through our land exchanges. You use your revolving account and the money keeps coming back into the account as you do these things. We go out and we purchase the lands that fit into our ownership. We trade out the stuff that we would like to dispose of. It's no net change to the tax base. In fact, we've ended up with an increase in the tax base out there because of what we've been able to do. And we've also been able to lower the tax burden because of the stuff we divest ourselves of. We've gained over 3 miles of lakeshore and river frontage of critical riparian habitats. Total acres defragmented as of a year ago was approximately 4,400 acres. We're doing better than that. Now, the other thing is we got rid of over 44 acres of property line. a logger the other day asked me what it costs to set up timber sales. And I said, well, I went through the numbers and crunched them. Anywhere from $10 an acre to over $100 an acre to set up a timber sale. He said, what's the difference? And I said, it's real simple, property lines. When you're fragmented and you deal with all those property lines, it's really expensive. So the minute you can start defragmenting, you can generate more revenue, plus the industry's happier because they have better access to the wood. The other viewpoint that I have on this is it really is a jobs bill. If we can defragment, if we can get a better land base, the industrial forest lands, the county lands, the state lands, and we get them situated to where they are larger land bases without all these property boundaries, we'll have more timber available for the industry. And the industry is the jobs.
Thank you. That. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Moody.
We take any questions on that particular section. And if there are none, Mr. Chair, Section 3, as Mr. Meyer said, we're going to ask, it's the land exchange section, we're going to ask Kathy Lewis from the Department of Natural Resources to step up. Thanks.
Welcome, Ms. Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Kathy Lewis with the Department of Natural Resources, Lands and Minerals Division. Section 3 of the bill is also an outcome of the Forest Fragmentation Team Group and also issues raised in Department of Natural Resources. And what it does is it establishes an expedited process for the exchange of publicly owned lands between the state and other governmental subdivisions of the state. In practice, most of the exchanges will be between the Department of Natural Resources and the counties, with a focus on consolidation of ownership. So in most cases, you're exchanging state-owned land for state-owned land. Time and cost savings will primarily be in the valuation process and in the title work process. Through elimination of boundaries between separated ownerships, which you just heard from the last testifier, consolidation of ownership, we will reduce management costs and also aid in reducing forest fragmentation. Just a few highlights of the section. In Subdivision 2, we've identified the group of lands involved, and it includes DNR lands, except the school and university lands. We felt that we should give this program a try for a while and make sure that there's enough safeguards in place so that we are fulfilling our fiduciary responsibilities as to the school and university lands. So for the DNR lands, the focus would be on the acquired lands and consolidated conservation lands as we start up this program. If we feel that it's working well, we would come back in a subsequent legislative session and ask to include the trust lands. In Subdivision 3 of Section 3, we add another valuation process to the exchange process, and that is allowing a market analysis from a qualified real estate broker. We also require that the merchantable timber be considered in the valuation of the lands. And another change here is that currently under the land exchange laws, you have to have the land substantially equal in value, and then you have to proceed to make them equal in value, and you spend time adjusting the acreage. And here we're saying once you've met the substantially equal in value test, that is sufficient for this exchange. Subdivision 4, we're allowing the use of title insurance, and that can reduce time and cost because when you're doing large exchanges and you have to prepare lots of appraisals, that costs quite a bit for the to do. Subdivision 5 has the requirement that the Land Exchange Board, which is our three constitutional officers, the governor, attorney general, and state auditor, as provided in the Constitution, they have to approve these exchanges. Subdivision 6, a technical one of who goes first with the deeds. Subdivision 7 has a safeguard built into the process, and that's going to include a reverter clause in these deeds that says if you're going to dispose of this land that you've received through the exchange, within the first 40 years, you're going to have to get permission from your exchange party or the property will revert. We want to make sure that everybody who's doing this, DNR counties, local U.S. government, are serious that they're doing the exchange for the purpose of managing the lands, not for the purpose of acquiring the lands and then selling them and raising revenue in that fashion. Subdivision is just a technical one to recognize when you exchange, the lands take on the class that they were exchanged with. So that's Section 3 of the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just make a comment that the Department of Natural Resources and Itasca County Land Departments did an excellent job in the land exchange in the Minnesota Steel project up in northern Minnesota. It was a 7,000-acre land exchange, the largest in state history. And I think many of these things that we're proposing came out of that. And as I say, these people did an excellent job. And I think we've seen that that has a lot of possibilities. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chair, I have Section 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, which deal with the SFIA, and I have those sections in front of me, but I'd like to ask Mr. Knopf to help me explain them.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Knopf.
The first section deals with a claimant. It's basically somebody who's allowed to enroll in the SFIA program. And what it does is it basically says that if the owner was previously covered by an auxiliary forest, that's a kind of a now defunct program. There are still some forests in it, but no new forests have been added for many years. And if they were in an auxiliary forest, then they are automatically eligible to get into the SFIA. So that's basically to clarify that. And then in Section 5, that's just a technical related to, you'll see later on, there's a new, in Section 9, you'll see a new subdivision dealing with the appeals basically when the commissioner makes a decision. Section 6 deals with annual certification, and this is really more of a clarification of, it was something that Senator Saxtog carried a few years ago where we allowed somebody to transfer ownership and then they would still remain in the SFIA. Well, this is just a clarification to say that it had to go back all the way to the original owner, rather to the original claimant, that it wouldn't just go back. It really very technical. It's not a big deal, but it does clarify that from a provision that was enacted 2 years ago. Section 7, this raises the per acre minimum under the SFIA. If you see under current law in line 8.18, it's $1.50 is the minimum payment. You do these calculations in 1 and 2, and if they amount to less than $1.50, $1.50 is the minimum payment. This would guarantee a $5 per acre payment under this. If the calculations didn't get you to $5, it would automatically go up to $5. Section 8, this is again related to the new in Section 9. In the next section, we'll see this is the technical related to the new provision on appeals. And then we'll go on to Section 9, and you can see that there were opportunities for appeals before, but this lays it out better and is very, it's a lot clearer on timelines, especially for timelines for access if you want to appeal a commissioner's decision to the tax court. So what it does is it basically provides the notice date, and then the time from the notice date is 60 days, which is under current law the same thing you'll see in the previous section, that it was 60 days also, and then it provides that 60-day window, but it also allows that you can get extensions of another 60 days if within 30 days you apply to the commissioner. Another 30 days. It's an extra 30 days. And then once the determination of appeal with the commissioner, then the commissioner can, once you do appeal a decision, it gives the commissioner some guidance on how the commissioner should decide on the appeal. And then also, again, you'll see in Subdivision 8, the appeal to the tax court, it's within 60 days after the commissioner denies an appeal or 120 days after receiving the letter. So you can either appeal to the commissioner or go directly to the tax court. And you basically got a 120-day window to the tax court regardless of whether you go to the commissioner first or not. It also exempts it from the Administrative Procedures Act under Chapter 14 so that the appeal process is the appeal process here. You wouldn't follow the one in Chapter 14. You follow the one that's here. And that's basically it. And these are comparable provisions. These are the same provisions that passed the Senate last year, I think, in the tax bill. It didn't get finally enacted.
Mr.
Chairman, do you want me to go through the appropriations, or did you want to?
You mean 10 and 11?
Yeah.
I think we've got some people who are just going to say a bit about that. But thank you very much for explaining those sections. Mr. Chair, I've got a couple. Is Bob Meyer still here?
Stepped out in the hall, I believe.
Okay, well, why, Mr. Knopf, why don't you explain Section 10, and then we'll have Mr. Zemeta explain Section 11.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman and members, Section 10, that this deals with that we saw earlier, that forest of the future revolving account. This just has an unspecified amount that would be appropriate or transferred from the general fund to that account to get it going. There is not a specified amount of money in here, but it would just be a transfer of that amount of money for the general fund. It's, you know, this would have to fit into the budget, of course. And then Section 11 is the study. I think somebody else talked about that.
And Section 11, Mr. Chair, would ask Mr. Zemeta to comment on that since he's kind of in charge of it.
Mr. Zemeta?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is David Zemeta. I'm executive director of the Minnesota Forest Resources Council. You'll see in Section 11 there's a proposed appropriation of $50,000 in fiscal year 2009. To the Minnesota Forest Resources Council to conduct a study of options, make recommendations to the legislature for addressing fragmentation and parcelization of large blocks of private forest land in the state, a one-time appropriation. I'll mention that Governor Pawlenty's proposed budget last year included a $200,000 appropriation to support this study. That appropriation was almost there in the 11th hour. The conference committee that was considering it used the money for other purposes, so we didn't get that appropriation in the 2007 session. As a result of that, we sought money from other sources. We were asked by the Blanin Foundation to submit a $100,000 proposal, which they accepted, contingent on $50,000 being appropriated by the legislature to match their $100,000 appropriation. That was a requirement by the board of the Blanin Foundation. And we also were able to get a $50,000 commitment from Iron Range Resources. So we have three-quarters of the funding for this proposal on the table, but it's contingent on getting this $50,000 appropriation. We have $3 on the table for every $1. And I think in the current fiscal climate, it's very important that we seek innovative approaches towards getting other funding on the table from private and other sources. We've successfully done that. I'll call your attention to this handout, this Minnesota Forest of the Future that's on the table here if you didn't already receive it. And on page 4 of that handout, Item 6, it says toolbox approach. The state should use a toolbox approach in which multiple tools are applied to meet forest conservation goals. That's exactly what our study is. It's a study looking at forest parcelization and subsequent development across northern and central Minnesota counties that have this major issue of parcelization and subsequent development. Our proposal would look at that parcelization of those lands, extend a study that we've already funded and has been completed for Itasca County that shows clear empirical evidence of the development between the connection between parcelization and subsequent development. We want to make sure that's occurring across other counties in northern Minnesota, and then look at the tools that the legislature could use to address this parcelization and development, including conservation easements, an important tool. But there's a whole range of others in terms of tax policy, financial and technical assistance programs for private forest landowners, planning and zoning by counties and local units of government, information education programs, fee title acquisition, land exchange. My council is very supportive of looking at this whole range of approaches and then making recommendations to the legislature. I just concur with the remarks of Mr. Moody earlier. We're supportive of this bill, and we seek your support in moving the whole thing forward, including this Section 11. Thank you very much.
Questions for Senator Saxog or Mr. Zemeta?
Not, Mr. Chair. I'd move that Senate File 2650 be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusions. Oh, no, I got the wrong one. Excuse me. 2651 is amended to be recommended to pass and sent to the Forestry Subcommittee.
You hear the motion. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I know the weather's a bit frightful, and we have some guests from out of town. I'm going to take my bill next, kind of as the vehicle for some other amendments tonight, and then we are going to try to take care of some people who are from out of town that need to get going. So I see Senator Bach, you are not right now number 5 on the list, but with him done, you're now number 4. So if you have other commitments too.
Senator Scogin, Senate File 2985.
Senate 2985, thank you, Senator Saxog and the committee. It's got a lot of things in it, and I would like to, I believe, Mr. Knopf, we want to do an amendment. To start with, if you will turn to page 7, and I don't have a number on my amendment, so.
Is this the Otter Tail County?
Isn't this in the bag?
Mm-hmm. Is this the Otter Tail County one?
Oh. Mr. Chairman, Senator Scogin, in everybody's packet, there should be a copy of the A1 amendment, or at least on the top in the.
Yeah.
And it's.
That's the legal description one that we talked about this morning?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scogin, yes.
Okay. I then move the A1 amendment.
Senator Scogin moves the A1 amendment. Any discussion? Not. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? A1 is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a full bill. It's got a lot of different tentacles in it, and so I'm going to ask Kathy Lewis to come back to the witness table and help me walk through it. It has been reviewed by DNR, and she's going to just take you quickly through what this bill has, because we have a lot of different things in there.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Kathy Lewis of the Department of Natural Resources. This is a omnibus boundary and sale bill, typical bill for the year that the tax forfeited land sale bill provisions are usually attached to. Section 1 of the bill is a technical amendment. It concerns the critical habitat account. And what we're trying to do here is make clear that the department can accept a contribution and agree to match a contribution if there are future appropriations. This change does not make the contribution itself contingent on the appropriation, just the match. So making that clear in the language of the statute. Sections 2 and 3 of the bill are technical changes to the outdoor recreation system components. In prior legislative sessions, the aquatic management areas were added as a unit of the outdoor recreation system. However, they didn't go through and add them under other provisions of the outdoor recreation statutes. And so that's what we're doing in this case. There's also, we also caught that wildlife management areas also needed to be added in one case as to state recreation areas. Section 4 adds lands to 7 state parks. I can go into detail if you'd like them, but they're parks, Buffalo State Park, Frontenac State Park, Monson Lake State Park, Savannah Portage State Park, Scenic State Park, Sudan Underground Mine State Park, and William O'Brien State Park. Section 5 deletes lands from 4 state parks, Frontenac, Lake Carlos, Lake Chetek, Moose Lake. And the big amendment that you did in A1 is an amendment to the roadway for Lake Chetek. At the time we drafted the bill, the surveyors were still getting that survey description written, and so they have a refined description for you. Section 6 of the bill adds land to the Garden Island State Recreation Area and Lake of the Woods. These are 3 rock outcrop islands with undisturbed plant communities that would be transferred from the federal government. Section 7 adds 80 acres to the Birch Lake State Forest in Stearns County. This will improve access to the state forest. And then Sections 8 to 16 of the bill authorizes sales or exchanges of DNR-administered land. Most of the sale parcels are small or isolated. Legislation is required for sales because the parcels border water, or we're proposing a direct sale or a direct transfer to a local unit of government. For some of the parcels, it would be in the best interest, it would be managed by a local unit of government. And the bill also addresses resolution of several unintentional trespass situations. There are in that group of categories some land exchanges. I would say that in Section 11, which is Carver County, we're asking approval to do this land exchange because Department of Finance raised the issue whether you can exchange lands that are were acquired as part of bonding dollars, and so this is why Section 11 is being required. And then we also have an exchange involving land that's within Lake Louise State Park, and we have a trespass. We trespass with a horse trail, and so we're doing an exchange with a landowner, but we're leaving the private land within the state park boundary. And then the remainder are small little sales that are being proposed. And that's the basics of the bill. We have department staff from Wildlife and Parks and myself who can answer more detailed questions on any of the sections.
Mr. Chair, we stand for questions.
Questions of either Ms. Lewis or Senator Scogin? If not, Senator Scogin, how would you wish to proceed?
Mr. Chair, I recommend that Senate file number 2985 as amended be laid on the table.
For anything in particular or just on the table?
More stuff on it.
Put
more stuff on it. All right.
Vehicle.
That's a good thing. It's a good vehicle. All right. Is there any discussion on that? All right. If not, all in favor, signify by say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate file 2985 is on the table.
Are you going to present for Mary Olson? Because I had her number 3 on my list, but Senator Saxog, did you want to?
I was just going to do 2650.
Let's let you do 2650, and then we'll get back into my sequence. I am not following the sequence once again, ladies and gentlemen, but we'll take Senator Saxog next on 2650.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 2650 is a request from Itasca County for this year's omnibus lands bill. This is one of the bills approved by the DNR, and with me today is Bob Sherrill from Itasca County, the land specialist. And he's going to go over the bill briefly and answer any questions that you may have.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Bob Sherrill with Itasca County Land Department, Mr. Chairman, Senator. We have two requests. One deals with acquisition of or sale of some tax forfeit shoreland. DNR has approved the sale. Itasca County wants to acquire a piece of tax forfeited land and convert it to direct county land because this land has been used as part of the landfill in the past. And there's some test wells on it, and it's under an agreement, I believe, with the MPCA or some state agency. And Itasca County would like to get the ownership of that land under direct county ownership, similar to the rest of the landfill. This particular proposal involves splitting that piece of shoreland. The shoreland would remain tax forfeited. I believe it's about 200 foot deep or so from the lake would remain tax forfeited, but the back part of the parcel would be, we're requesting that we be allowed to sell that to the county. The other part that we're dealing with is a land replacement trust fund issue. You may be aware in Itasca County, Minnesota, Steel is going to be constructing a steel plant there. Within the permit mine area, there's approximately 12,000 acres of 12 tax forfeited land. Most of this land, or all of this land, will either be sold to Minnesota Steel or will be leased by Minnesota Steel. Itasca County wishes to replace the public lands involved in that within the permit mine area. So 2 years ago, we requested that the proceeds from the sale of those lands be placed in a land replacement trust fund. Since that time, we've discovered that there may be significant acreage of land that would be leased as well. And this particular request involves placing those lease fees in the last land replacement trust fund as well.
Mr. Sherrill, has the DNR reviewed this proposal?
They have reviewed the parcel on the sale of the tax forfeited land on Bass Lake, yes. The other part of it, I explained it to Mr. Pojar earlier. I don't know how involved they are in that particular issue.
Would he like to come to the table?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Pojar will comment on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name for the record is Paul Pojar. I work for the Division of Lands and Minerals of the Department of Natural Resources. And you have a letter that was sent to the chair for a number of these various different tax forfeited lands from different counties. And we have reviewed all the requests that have come in, and our regional people have gone out, taken a look at the sites, have reviewed the maps and other diagrams, and we put this letter together to indicate that we approve of the sales that the counties have put forth, including this one in Itasca County.
Thank you. I see I do have the list of the letters now, so thank you. Any other questions for the witnesses or Senator Saxog?
If not, Mr. Chair, I'd move that Senate File 2650 be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusion in Senate File 2985.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Knopf.
I'm just going to say in the motion, maybe you should, instead of possible inclusion, just say laid over for inclusion. Then they can make a motion at the end for all those that were laid over for inclusion to be adopted. It'll just make things easier if you make that motion that way.
So I recommended, did you say just to
for inclusion.
For inclusion and passed and laid over for inclusion right. In Senate File 2985.
We'll just make a motion even later.
All right. We hear the motion. Questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senator Bach.
Where'd he go?
That's just here.
Would you, Senator Saxon, could you peek out in the hall and see if Senator Bach's on the phone out there? Is anyone here that was going to speak to Mary Olson's land bill? Senator Olson. Okay. We'll take Senator Bach next. Senator Olson, you're, I think, on deck.
It's the other Olson.
Oh, yeah. Senator Bach with Senate File 3086. Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the committee have the, what's the amendment number?
We're looking for the amendment for 3086. I'm sorry. I said 39.
I don't have an amendment.
Senator Bach, we did not get an amendment.
Should I go upstairs?
Well, no, I have.
I'm not going to believe this, Mr. Chairman, but myself and somebody else had a same folder that looks like this over there, and I think they left the room with mine.
I got you.
Senator Bach, I can believe that.
The department was trying
to me about 10 times a day.
The department was trying to sabotage me, Mr. Chairman. There's a A081186 amendment.
We have no memory.
And we don't have it.
I think the department has it. Here it is. There it is. Oh, they gave it back, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. While it's being sent down this way, you can give us a quick explanation, Mr. Bach. Senator Bach.
The bill in front of you, Mr. Chairman, provides for the private sale of three parcels of tax-forfeited land in St. Louis County. It's a bill that was requested by Lake Country Power, our electric cooperative in northern Minnesota. They have the need to expand a substation and build two additional substations. One of them is up out of Ely, Minnesota, by Fall Lake. One is very close to Lake Vermilion, and the other one is down Highway 73 between Hibbing, I believe it's between Hibbing and Floodwood, not that far from former Senator Dallas Sam's cabin. And the situation is in all of those lake regions, they're experiencing significant new development, an additional load, and they need to add on to a substation and build two others. And they've identified these three parcels of county tax forfeited land as locations for new substation construction. The bill's here because under current law, the county could sell this land, but it needs to be sold at public auction. What the bill would do is allow them to be able to, the county to sell the land at private sale to Lake Country Power.
And the amendment just puts all that in order?
No, Mr. Chairman, the amendment is should be a bill, but it's not. It is some additional St. Louis County land sale provisions that they've been working through to get approved by DNR. I didn't see them until today, but John Ungaro was here from St. Louis County, and because of the rapid nature of that this session is moving and the early committee deadlines, rather than get it jacketed, there's no controversy about the provisions in the amendment, but I'd have to have John Ungaro, who represents St. Louis County, speak to it. Mr. Chairman, it's the A081186 amendment.
So we're addressing the A081186 amendment. Go ahead, Mr. Ungaro.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. What you see before you are roughly 20 parcels of tax forfeited land, which St. Louis County has been working with the DNR on to get their approval. And I'm pleased to say that all 20 parcels that you see before you, the DNR has given their approval to, and any conditions that they've attached to that are identified in this amendment. Just very briefly to give you an idea of where these parcels are and what they consist of. The first, on page one, the first five parcels that you see there on lines 1.18 through lines 1.28 are essentially river land that is being purchased by the Fond du Lac tribe of Lake Superior Ojibwe. And they own all the adjoining and surrounding land, so this is an opportunity for them to consolidate their land holdings in that area. The next, on page two, the next 12 parcels that you see from lines 2.14 to 2.32 are a series of other tax-forfeited riparian lands, whether it be on lakes, rivers, meandering streams, or creeks, and you can see each of them are identified and how many acres each of them consist of. And then moving to page three, the lots 20 and 21 is essentially a attempt to resolve a septic drain field trespass and to resolve that problem with a small 1.1 acre sale. Of the final parcel is in the last section of the bill, starting on lines 3.12 and continuing to the end, and that concerns some tax forfeited land in Duluth, out in West Duluth, what is abandoned rail line called the Duluth Transfer Line, and that is land surrounding that Duluth Transfer Line that also will be sold.
Thank you, Mr. Ungaro. Could I just have Mr. Poshar just kind of weigh in? Since we don't have a letter on this specific piece, could you tell me if you're comfortable with what you're looking at?
Mr. Chairman, yes. The letter that I indicated earlier is the Senate File 3086, those three parcels of land for the substation, and we had we indicated there that we had no problems. The last paragraph of the letter that came to you, we said that we were in the process of reviewing it. We got this afternoon, we have reviewed it, and we promised you a verbal report, and we agree with what has been proposed here. Been reviewed and approved by our regional people.
Any other questions for the witnesses or Senator Bach? Senator Bach, you'd like to move this for recommended to pass? And
I would, but I'm not a member of the committee, Mr. Chairman.
You're right.
I'd be happy to move.
Oh, we never did you do your amendment, I don't think, either. So let's look to
the amendment, then.
Amendment. Move the amendment. Senator Pariseau moves
sure
the amendment.
We sure we didn't vote on it already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Feels like it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Amendment. So, Mr. Chair, then I would move that Senate File 3086 as amended be laid over for inclusion in Senate File 2985.
You heard the motion. Any further questions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We're going to go Olson next, and we're going to start with Jen. Sorry, Mary. We'll get to you next. Senator Jen Olson comes to the table with Senate File 3233, Land Sale, City of Wayzata. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you have indicated, Senate File 3233 is allowing for the private sale of land that is currently owned by DNR to the City of Wayzata. It is it is essentially it's less than a half acre, about looks like it's about 40 feet in length or in width. Show you what it looks like here on a plat map. This is Superior Boulevard that goes from Lake Street in Wayzata up and connects with Old Wayzata Boulevard. The parcel that it's the large parcel that is next to it is currently a shopping center that is going to be redeveloped. All of the plans have been approved for doing that. And Wayzata wants to realign Superior Boulevard, and it would encroach a bit on this land. The there's a service station and a municipal bar and grill that Wayzata owns on this side of it between Superior Boulevard and the Lake Street area. This it's hard to understand how DNR happens to come to possess this thing. It's not on Lakeshore, but what it does do is that it what's in or under it or on it is the pipe that carries Gleason Creek to Lake Minnetonka. I just located a Lake Minnetonka map. I'll send it around to give you a little perspective on where it is, because while I drive this, I had no idea there was a little piece of DNR land. But Wayzata is the community that's on the north side of Wayzata Bay in the east end of Lake Minnetonka. And Superior Boulevard, Lake Street, kind of goes along the lake, along the railroad, James J. Hill's old railroad and the infamous depot that he at one time moved out of town because he got mad at the people and made them walk out to the station to get the train. But anyway, the depot is back along the lake. And Superior Boulevard is this connecting road that goes up in this open parcel is where that shopping center is now. Gleason Lake is up here. And, of course, you know the meandering ways of water. I'm not sure exactly where that creek goes and follows, but at least at this point, that little parcel covers or encompasses the pipe that carries Gleason Lake water down through and toward Lake Minnetonka. But it is, as I said, it's not on the lake. Wayzata has been maintaining that essentially stormwater or that pipe, and believes that it's important to keep it in the public hand, and they would prefer to have it in their hands. They've agreed to purchase it. It has been submitted to DNR, and we do have the letter. You may not have it in your packets, but I gave a copy of it to Mr. Knapp. And so it appears that they are agreeable, and the city will be willing to pay as it sets forth in the bill. We have the city council is not here, but their city attorney is here to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions?
Otherwise, I would move the bill.
Mr. Poacher, did you want to?
Just to clarify on the letter that we sent to the committee, Mr. Chair. there's a Senate file numbered XXXX-Olson-G. That's now Senate file 3233, and we approve it.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator
Pearsall? I would move the bill, Mr. Chairman. Do you want it to be included in whatever the number is?
2985.
We have a motion for inclusion in 2985. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members.
Senator Olson, you're next.
Quad X. Quad X. The other Olson, 2777.
Senator Mary Olson, Beltrami County Tax Forfeited Land Sale 2779 is your Senate file.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a pleasure to be here this evening. It's the first time I'm having an opportunity to testify in front of this committee. And I'm here with Tim Flathers, who's the Community Development Director for the Headwaters Regional Development Council, requesting that the state allow the private sale of tax-forfeited land bordering a body of water near the city of Bemidji. And actually what we're requesting is that a piece of land that's part of a larger parcel and one part of it borders the land or borders the lake be allowed to be broken off so that the land that would be sold would not be land that borders the water, but it is contiguous with land that in one portion borders the water. So that's why we need to come to the state and ask for this request. The city of Bemidji faces a shortage of housing for low-income people because we have a university there, and we have a lot of demands on low-income rental housing. We have relatively high prices on our rental housing in comparison to the ability of people in our community to afford that housing. And so this has been a very big problem that a number of people have worked on in our community for solutions. And so the purpose of this parcel of land would be to use it to build supportive housing. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Flathers and have him give you a few more details.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Flathers, identify yourself for the record, please.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. My name is Tim Flathers. I work for the Headwaters Regional Development Commission. And we have a nonprofit subsidiary corporation that is involved in affordable housing development. And as Senator Olson indicated, we have an interest in developing a 20-unit project for supportive housing for long-term homeless population. This particular parcel is particularly of interest to us because we're purchasing property from the city of Bemidji directly across the street. The parcel does have access to sewer and water, and it's only a couple blocks from downtown where the population that we are attempting to serve would have access to employment and services, and it's on a bus line and such. This is a parcel actually that we were directed to by the city of Bemidji, and we had a lot of support at the council level and at the county level, but found that when talking with the county land department that due to the fact that the parcel does have riparian rights that we would need legislative approval in order to split a piece of the property off for this project. And so our request respectfully is that you authorize the county to convey the easternmost 350 feet of this larger parcel to the city of Bemidji.
Questions? Senator Saxog, do you want to move this one along?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that Senate File 2779 be moved and laid over for inclusion in Senate File 2985.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Flathers.
Thank you very much.
We're going to go to is Senator Metzen, or he had someone. Barry was going to take care of that, wasn't he? Okay. We're going to Senator Metzen's bill, Senate File 3095, Dakota County Tax Forfeited Land Conveyance.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Barry Tilley. I represent the Dakota County Board of Commissioners.
he doesn't show up.
Senator Metzen sent his apologies. He was called away by Senator Lankseth to a meeting, and he asked if I would speak on his behalf on this bill. Dakota County brought Senate File 3095 to Senator Metzen. You should have a packet somewhere of three or four things here, the last of which is a map that shows the parcel. We have the top page is a resolution from the Dakota County Board. Second page is a letter from the city of South St. Paul.
Mr. Tilley, we didn't get anything from Senator Metzen, so.
I think I gave your clerk a pile of these.
Oh, wait a minute. You brought it with you tonight?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, committee, you should find it smaller print stapled together.
Yeah, four sheets all together, last of which is a map.
Yep. I'm on the map.
Thank you. I apologize, Mr. Chairman. The top is a resolution from the Dakota County Board. The second page is a letter from the city of South St. Paul supporting this. The third is a letter from the Department of Natural Resources supporting the transfer. The property, as you'll see, is between the railroad tracks and the river. The city of South St. Paul currently has a pedestrian trail through the property. Bill is calling for the property to be transferred to Dakota County. This trail will become a part of the Mississippi River Regional Trail when the trail acquisition is complete further down the line, and it will be operated as a regional trail by Dakota County. I'm more than happy to stand for questions.
I find myself being very trusting because I'm going to believe everything you just told me. How's that sound?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair.
And Senator Saxon.
The Dakota County delegation will take it out in Senator Metzen.
So
I'll watch for that, and I'll move it just in case.
Senators.
Right. You want to move? Senate file?
Senator Pariseau recommends that Senate File 3095 be recommended to pass and be included in Senate File 2985. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
See if I don't get my...
We'll move to... I believe I want Senator Stumpf, Senate File 3060. Is there anyone here? Senator Saxog, would you carry that for Senator Stumpf tonight? Appreciate that. Some of these senators have been called into meetings here at the... At the last minute, Senate File 3060, Senator Stumpf's bill as a Marshall County tax forfeited land sale authorization. Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll note that the letter from Ms. Lewis for these pieces of land, tax forfeit land, in particular right now, Senate File 3060 from Marshall County has been included in this letter. The DNR have any particular comment on it? I guess it's okay. So that being said, I would move that if there's no questions.
Questions? Go ahead, Senator.
Otherwise, I would move that Senate File 3060 be passed and laid over for inclusion in Senate File 2985.
You hear the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Senator Saxog. Hey, we're picking up speed now, kids.
Mr. Chair, is there anything you want me to take care of while I'm sitting down?
Well, I was thinking of that, but Senator Pariseau has volunteered to take Senator Vanderveer's two bills, so I think we'll move her to the witness table, and we'll.
Do I have to go there with
her? You can, Senator Pariseau. I'm not opposed to you sitting right there.
That's okay.
So
I may as well do that.
We might as well stay in this end, and we'll be looking at Senate File 2665.
2665. Mr. Chairman and members, it looks like tax...
Oh, we do. Senator Pariseau, we do have a witness with this one, so maybe I'll have you go down there and bring them to the table.
I'll
thank you.
Both of them. Might be right. Okay. Oh, Kathy said she...
Senator Pariseau, 2665.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 2665 is a private land sale of tax fortified land that borders public water in Washington County, and this is for Senator Vanderveer, who's just not here. But this gentleman has some comments, and Ms. Lewis said that they could probably handle any other questions that you might have.
Thank you. Go ahead. Identify yourself for the committee, please.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I am Kevin Corbett. I'm the Director of Property Records and Taxpayer Services in Washington County, and we handle the administration of tax-forfeited land in Washington County. Senate File 2665 is a bill that I believe was brought to Senator Vandeveer by a private landowner in the city of Matamidi. I don't know if Mr. Wolf is here. There's only a few folks left, but a gentleman by the name of Mr. Wolf. He has a – I'm not sure if there's been a map provided to the committee or not on this parcel.
I think we have a letter for 2666, and we do have a packet. No, we did not. I'm sorry. We do not have the map.
Mr. Chair, I can provide that to you.
Thank you.
Piece of tax forfeited property that forfeited to the state of Minnesota in 1977. The property is just to the south of Mr. Wolf's property. It borders on Long Lake on its eastern side, and there is a unnamed wetland on the western side of the parcel. It clearly has over 150 feet of water and therefore needs special legislation in order to sell by private sale to an adjacent landowner. The County Board of Commissioners reviewed this request at its meeting on Tuesday and supported the legislation as drafted and would go to a private sale if this legislation is passed.
Is it Mr. Carver?
Corbett, C-O-R-B-I-D.
B-I-D, thank you. Is it undevelopable land if we left it alone, by itself?
Mr. Chair, it is not. It is very wet. There is a large wetland area that's on its southern part where the wetland and the lake drain together. You'll see from the map one of the issues that is present on this property is that Mr. Wolf presently has his dock that comes off the piece of the property that is a tax-forfeited property. So the county's wish is to go to private sale and convey this property. It's currently assessed at about $5,000 on the county's tax rolls.
Inadvertent trespass, too.
Mr. Chairman, members, I believe Ms. Lewis has some clarification, too.
Mr. Chair, the department has no objections to this bill, but we did provide a provision here that the county or watershed district must retain an easement for drainage purposes to protect the wetlands issues.
Other questions for the witnesses? If not, Senator Parasol will move that Senate File 2666 be recommended to pass, or excuse me, 2665 be recommended to pass and be included in Senate File 2985. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And then, Mr. Chairman and members, I will also move that Senate File 2666 will receive the same treatment for inclusion in whatever the number of that bill is again. And it's also a piece of Washington County tax-forfeited land. And I suppose Mr. Corbett also probably has a better description
than I can. Mr.
Corbett,
would you like to speak to that piece of property as well?
Mr. Chair and members, yes. This request is for two pieces of land that border on the Sunrise River in the city of Forest Lake. These properties forfeited to the state of Minnesota in 1991. The county received a request from the Comfort Lake Forest Lake Watershed District to acquire the parcels. The Watershed District intends to utilize the parcels to manage the water quantity and quality within the watershed as it discharges into Comfort Lake. Comfort Lake is identified as an impaired body by the MPCA, and the Watershed District is interested in acquiring these parcels to help with its remediation efforts. The County Board again reviewed this request on Tuesday morning and has provided a letter of support that's in your packet. And we also received a letter from the DNR that's saying that there would not be an opposition of this conveyance to the Watershed District.
Ms. Lewis, did you want to weigh in on this one?
Mr. Chair, he's correct. The department has no objection to this bill.
And I do let the record show that the chair holds the letter from the Washington County Board of Commissioners in support. Any other questions? If not, Senator Parasol will move that Senate File 2666 be recommended to pass and be included in Senate File 2985. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Corbett.
Let me take 12 and 13.
Senator Saxog, you wanted 12 and 13? Yeah, let's do those two next. Yep, and then I can finish up. Sure. Senator Saxog will take Senate file, well, Senator Scoy's Clearwater land sale and Senator Tomasoni's St. Louis County Tax Forfeited School Trust Fund land lease for wind energy community-based energy development project.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got, I'll take on Senator Scoy's project, Senate File XXXX. I'll refer to the DNR letter and ask
Senator Senator Saxog, we're going to call that reviser number 086307. Senator Scoy's bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, reviser number 08-6307, which is authored by Senator Scoy. I would defer to the DNR.
Mr. Chair, with the new number, we have no objections. Our letter indicates it's XXXX-SCOY.
Okay. And it's got a reviser number 086307. That's the one that Mr. Poacher is talking about. And we're going to add that to our big bill, Senator Saxog, as an amendment. So,
yep. Mr. Chairman, if I could just clarify, the bill is not here in committee. So with this one, I don't think you really need a motion at this point. What you're going to want to do is just adopt this later on when you bring up the big bill to adopt it as an amendment to it.
What was the amendment then?
So Mr. Chair, my motion be just to lay this particular on the table.
Take testimony if it's... Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, you take testimony. Again, the bill's not here. You can talk about it, but there's really no motion on the document itself.
Okay. Anybody else want to talk to this one? We'll add it later then. Thank you. Senator Saxog, Senate File 2687.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 2687 is a bill I'm presenting for Senator Tomasoni, which will allow county and school trust land to be leased up to 30 years for wind energy projects. And I do have Kathy Lewis here to talk about an amendment. Mr. Knopf, do you have an amendment prepared for this? Or
Mr. Chairman, Senator Saxog, I don't have an amendment, but I think it's going to be fairly easy. I think they were talking about just kind of broadening this authority to go to all state lands. Not just school trust lands, and then also to remove the community-based energy, the seabed. So basically be for a wind energy project to broaden the scope and the allowance under this. This is what I understand.
Well, Mr. Chair, then, could I...
Senator Saxon.
Could I amend the bill? And I would basically...
Senator Saxon, Mr. Knopf might have some words that...
Well, I was going to ask Mr. Knopf if eliminating... line 1.9 and just putting project at the end of 1.8 and then eliminating all of 1.11 and just referring to a 30-year lease of state land.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that might be a little...
Mr. Knopf.
It might be a little broader than what you want to do.
Okay.
Here's what the amendment I'll recommend is on 1.19, delete everything before project. On 1.10, delete school trust and insert state. I think that gets you where you want to go.
I would move that, Mr. Chair.
We have the amendment deleting everything in front of project on line 1.9. On line 1.10, we're eliminating or deleting school trust and inserting state. Any questions on the amendment?
Mr. Chair, we have some input from Ms. Lewis from the DNR.
Okay. Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, for line 1.11, I believe you want to also eliminate the words for the project under paragraph A. If you want to be more precise, you could add state land administered by the commissioner to make it very clear that it's only the commissioner can only do the leases for the state land.
Mr. Knoth?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Lewis, isn't this supposed to be tied to the wind energy project, or is this going to be blanket authority for 30-year leases for any state land? Shouldn't we codify this in statute someplace?
Mr. Chair, the Department of Natural Resources believes that under Minnesota Statute 9250, we currently have authority to issue wind leases on any class of state-owned land. So we're not objecting to the bill. Under the 9250 provisions, we have authority for a 10-year lease, and we have authority for commercial leases up to 40 years, but leases over 10 years require the approval of the State Executive Council, which are our five constitutional officers. So one of the positions we could take is this bill, as written originally, is okay with us because we already have the authority to do it anyway. What we're looking at in this department is that the wind energy issues are becoming broader, and we think we're going to need to study them and probably come back next legislative session with some more detailed legislation. As you look at the issues with wind leasing, there's also an issue about an easement because you create a buffer around the actual wind tower to prohibit certain types of activities. So it's actually a fairly complex issue that's been looked at in other parts of the country. And so we're not ready to propose legislation ourselves, but we think next year we will have some better ideas of what we'd like to do from a department perspective and would provide codification at that point in time.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Lewis,
Mr. Knoth.
How about this? Just on line 111, delete dot insert a wind energy and then delete everything and then delete under paragraph A. So basically you've got like things going on in paragraph A and B. You're allowing them to do the tax forfeited lands, and then you're saying the commissioner may enter into, and that would be broader. I mean, but it would include any county. I mean, this is not just St. Louis County now, unless you want to say the commissioner may enter into a 30-year lease. And if you say we use the term state land here, when you could, as you said, you want to administer by the Commissioner of Natural Resources, you could just say may lease land administered by the Commissioner of Natural Resources. We don't have to use the word state at that point. I mean, is that kind of what you're thinking? Is that do we want to limit this to St. Louis County?
Mr. Chair, Council, I think that we are willing to be broader than that, not limited to St. Louis County. And your wording, Mr. Knoth, is quite helpful, I think.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we have to Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Knoth,
let me suggest a way to deal with this. First of all, from the head note on 1.16, we should take out St. Louis County, and we also need to take out school trust.
On 1.5,
school trust fund, and insert commissioner administered.
And the word "and" has to come out then too.
School trust fund out.
Yeah, it would be lease of tax forfeited and commissioner-administered lands.
And commissioner-administered lands, okay.
And then, as was stated earlier, on 1.19, delete everything before project. And then on line 1.10, we delete school trust and insert. And here we don't have the commissioner defined, so we have to say commissioner of natural resources administered. And then on line 1.11, delete the insert of wind energy, and then delete under paragraph A. And I think that gets to where everybody wants to go.
Mr. Knoth, but at the same time, this committee should then be aware that we have now opened the door, right, to much more than St. Louis County.
It's not specified.
Yes, you have, Mr. Chairman, because prior to that change, paragraph B said to a project under paragraph A, so that would have to be in St. Louis County. By doing this, it's now statewide. Paragraph B would apply statewide.
We didn't take it out of the...
Mr. Chair, the DNR concurs with what you just said and approves. Would approve. if I'm reading you right.
Any questions on the amendment before us? Senator Perisola, are you?
I'm cool.
Comfortable?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Sirfanik would like to speak a few words. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Gary Sirfanik. I'm a consultant to the Montanaran and Economic Development Authority, and we're seeking this legislation for the purposes of establishing a wind energy project in St. Louis County. And with all respect to the legal staff, I just have a question on line 1.8. If we're opening it up to other counties, would you strike St. Louis County on 1.8 as well?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Sirfanik,
Mr. Knopf.
If that's the will of the committee, right now paragraph A only applies. It's paragraph B that would be statewide for the DNR, and paragraph A would only apply in St. Louis County. If you did want this to go statewide, you would strike St. Louis County and just insert a county, or just strike St. Louis and insert a county.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, my position on it would be that I spoke to the chair of the Association of Land Commissioners and indicated to him that the legislation was only specifically for St. Louis County, and out of respect for that organization, I think we should keep it narrow on county lands to St. Louis County until.
Well, that's. Yeah.
You know, so thank you for that.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman,
and
Mr. Sirfanik,
Mr. Knopf.
For county lands, it would only be St. Louis County right now.
Thank you.
As the amendment.
As the amendment.
Okay. We have the amendment before us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is now on Senate File 2687.
And Mr. Chair, I would ask Mr. Sirfanik if he has any further comments on.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, the Monterey EDA is attempting to establish a smaller wind project in the 10 to 25 megawatt range, and we've identified places in St. Louis County that's tax forfeited land and school trust land that we wish to establish this wind farm. We've been working with the DNR, and we've had a great working relationship, and this legislation addresses our need to have a 30-year rather than a 10-year lease for both those parcels. So I thank you, the committee, for considering this.
Other questions? Hearing none, Senator Saxog would move that Senate File 2687 as amended be recommended to pass and be included in Senate File 2985. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, before you take on your last bill, I was wondering if I could do Senate File 2977.
Senate File 2977, Senator Saxog, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 2977 is a department bill that deals with expedited exchanges, which is part of Senate File 2651 that we've already discussed. Interest of time, I'm going to ask Kathy Lewis from the DNR, who's been giving much expert testimony tonight, to explain this.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Section 1 of the bill you have heard in the Senate File 2651, that was put in a separate bill due to the forest fragmentation team discussion. That's the expedited exchange process. Section 2 comes from the department, and that's the section you have not heard before. This concerns the DNR's purchase of land for wildlife management areas and scientific natural areas. Currently, if the county board fails to act or fails to give a reason for disapproval for when the DNR is seeking to purchase land for wildlife management areas or scientific and natural areas, the landowner may appeal the decision to the land exchange board. But if the county board disapproves the DNR's purchases and provides reason for the disapproval, the DNR or the landowner may appeal to the district court. What this bill does is it moves the appeal process entirely to the Land Exchange Board and takes the district court out of the picture. This change is consistent with the process in use by the Fish and Wildlife Service when acquiring lands in Minnesota under the Migratory Bird Conservation Act. And so the Land Exchange Board is used to hearing these issues when it concerns federal acquisitions. And we're asking that the state lands be treated in the same manner for appeals from decisions by the county boards. Ned Bogus is here with Fish and Wildlife Division if you have any further questions on this one.
You may want to ask if they've talked to AMC or any of the county representatives.
Ms. Lewis, have you talked to any of the county representatives on this, or AMC, or some of the governing bodies that may be looking at this piece of legislation?
Mr. Chair, I have not. Maybe Ed has done so.
Ed Bogus, good evening. Thank you for being here tonight.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and committee. It's a pleasure to be here. Mr. Chair, I'm not sure. Mr. Meyer was going to make some contacts with representatives of the counties, and I'm not sure if those have occurred.
Other questions? Senator Saxon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If there are no questions, I would move that 2977 be laid over for inclusion in Senate File 2985.
You hear the motion.
Mr. Chairman, just
Mr. Knopf.
Real quick, on line 3.3, if you could just delete the word such and insert the.
Otherwise. Denny Fredrickson will be overworked.
Right. Did you just, Mr. Chair, Senator Perezzo, just refer to Mr. Senator Fredrickson?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think it's Senator Saxog's amendment. I've taken the word such already, so that they'll be the same then.
Do we need
so
that?
I would move the amendment.
Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'll make sure
now you can move that bill as amended, Senator.
2977 as amended be laid over for inclusion in Senate File 2985.
To the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So we just have one left, iron tail.
And finally.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scogin, Senate File 2802.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. We're looking at I might have Ms. Lewis join me just in case she has some information on some of this. This is a combination, again, it is in Otter Tail County, some private sales, some public sale lands. If you look and read through the bill, you will notice oftentimes at the bottom of each section, we see the Department of Natural Resources kind of weighing in, determining that the land is not appropriate for development to manage, maybe better if returned to private ownership. They've kind of weighed in on each parcel. I could walk you through each parcel or have Ms. Lewis do it, but as I did read through this particular one, it comes right out of my district, and I didn't see anything unusual, and certainly the DNR didn't throw any red flags up, I don't believe, but Ms. Lewis could speak to that point.
Well, Mr. Chair, the department has reviewed this bill, and our area staff has reviewed the bill, and we have no objections to the bill as drafted.
No objections. Is there any other discussion by anybody else? Senator Scogin.
If not, Mr. Chair, I would recommend that Senate File 2802 be recommended to pass and be included in Senate File 2985.
On the motion. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senator Vanderveer has just entered the, and he'll be happy to know that we've taken care of all his stuff.
We spoke to your bills, Senator Vanderveer, and they are both headed back to the original. No, we Senator Perezzo
sailed right through.
Senator Perezzo defended your territory and got him through for them. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you for coming. It's done.
So, Senator Scogin, Senate File 2802 is indeed going to be included in 2985. Do you have any other business that you want to take care of, or?
Which I don't needs to bring the bill now.
I don't believe I do, but I would like to bring Senate File 2985 off the table. And then we do have to do the amendment of Senator Tomasoni's piece. Okay.
Was it Tomasoni's piece?
Yes.
It was, well, it's actually, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, it was Senator Scoyes.
Thank you, Senator Scoyes' piece.
All right. So
would that be appropriate now?
Mr. Chairman, I think what would be appropriate would be to move all of the previously tabled bills as amendments to 2985, and then also reviser number 086307 as an amendment to 2985. And that, so that would be basically everything from your agenda except for 2651, which was the first bill heard. It would be basically putting everything on to everything else on the 2985. Do
you want to make that motion?
I can attempt it.
Senator Scogut, I would make the motion as
read by
Council.
I would make that motion as read by Council then.
All right, do we have any discussion on that? We're going to bring everything off the table that we've discussed tonight except Senate File 2651 and including as an amendment Senate Reviser File 08-6307.
That is correct, Senator.
All right, so the motion is to bring it off the table?
You've already taken it off the table. Right, we need to adopt all that as an amendment.
We're putting it together now, I believe.
All right. Yeah. So the motion is for to adopt this as an amendment.
To 2985.
To 2985.
That is correct.
Discussion?
Mr. Chair?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. We have that amendment intact, and now we're going to add it to...
Now you need to just move 2985 to the full committee.
Okay. We need to do then... Senator Scogut has moved Senate File 2985 to the full Committee of Environment and Natural Resources Policy.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. So moved.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That will move on. Senate File 2985, as amended, will move on to the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. Is there anything, other business before this committee?
I just want to thank everyone.
I think this committee should run the legislature.
I want to thank everyone who was here tonight for helping us out.
All right. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Look at these split.
Yeah. Record time? Maybe not.
Quite a few bills. I kind of get it.
I'm sure you did.
We said no.